into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name is David Austin.
I'm Londa Sherwood Austin. Welcome back.
I'm super excited to do this show with you because the weather has kind of turned, so it's wintry, which I really enjoy.
Ooh.
You don't love it? You don't love waking up to 32 degrees?
Heck no.
Undertaker on the TV weather is saying, in your day, it'll reach up to 68 feet.
I don't like being cold. Then I don't like being too hot. But, you know, it's a whole thing.
I think it's really pretty. And here's the best part. When I'm playing early morning disc golf, when it's crisp and in the 30s, it just feels so good.
There's a TikToker that that I run into occasionally, you know, on TikTok.
Oh, not like in person.
No. His name's Josh.
Uh-huh.
His handle is J-A-W-S-H, Josh. And that makes a lot of sense because he's like Bodie the Surfer, kind of, right? He's that character.
Hey, and dude, I just want to let you know that it's totally gnarly. Totally gnarly. Go ahead. Sorry.
If you want to look him up, you can. Josh, A-W. And it'll make you smile, but his whole shtick is like, and he like works for a skateboard company or something like that, a snowboard company,
sure.
Something. He fits the stereotype perfectly. But he always says like, dude, what is it? You know what just rips when you're in your 30s, dude? Like a crispy morning. That's what you reminded me of. Like a crispy morning, dude. Like just when it's like just crispy outside. What is that? It's so good.
You do that great.
Yeah. So he does a lot of those kind of things. And he's always talking. Here is what his core message is. It's fun, it's entertaining, but the core message is it's the simple things in life.
Sure.
Right? He's like, what is it, dude, when you're in your 30s, how all of a sudden, like, sitting in your garage, dude, is like the best, right? Like, I'm just out here with the four horses, and it pans over to, he's got his lawnmower and his bike and his, you know, whatever, and it's the things in the garage, and he's
that's
like,
hilarious.
I'm just chilling, and it rips.
That's cool.
It's very fun.
My buddy Stephen Lambert would love that. He'd love it.
Well, I'll send,
and could probably do it perfectly.
Yeah, I'll send one to you. It's very fun. So I didn't mean to hijack your.
No, that's perfectly fine.
Thing there,
happiness, but light. That's what's good. Okay, so last week's show,
dismal, depressing.
We talked about gratitude because you were kind of in a funk, and we said we'd expand kind of on that this week. And what I think is really interesting is when you make up your mind to be productive, like magic, production falls out of the sky.
So this is interesting. I just started listening to a podcast this morning. Mm-hmm. Mel Robbins is the host of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then she's interviewing a doctor whose name I don't remember because I've not gotten very far into it. But the whole thing is exactly that. And it's the power of the mind to heal the body.
Okay.
Is
yes.
What the whole subject is about. And this doctor says that she has 50 years of research showing that the most powerful medicine on the planet is your mind.
Well, you know, you talk about the placebo effect.
That's exactly what she talks about. She says the placebo effect is the most effective medicine on the planet.
It's true, because if you believe something, it kind of works itself out, and your body is engineered. This is cool. I was listening to an audiobook the other day about Tibetan monks and about how when they are doing their transcendental meditation, they are literally preparing their mind to repair their body, their world, and their situations, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. The mind really can help you out. And on the same coin, just the other side, your mind can really mess you up.
For sure.
You know, there are all kinds of anecdotal things about this, you know.
Yeah.
You are the three people you hang out with the most. Right. And it's because if your mind is in a certain mindset, things just go that way.
Right.
You wonder why children of wealthy people are successful often, not always, but often. It's because the people around them are successful. So to their brain, there is no other way to be.
Right.
You can call it nepotism all you want, but if you're raised in a home of mathematicians and doctors, you're more likely to become a mathematician or a doctor. Much more likely. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So yes, the placebo effect is real.
Yeah, and I'm excited to listen to this podcast. Haven't listened. I started it, and it is grandbaby central at our house right now.
It is. You're right.
And I started this podcast while I was getting ready this morning, and then I quickly realized I could not pay attention to the podcast because I had littles that kept coming in and wanting to chat with me, and they are more important than my podcast at the moment.
Sure.
In fact,
not this podcast, though.
They've left so we can do this podcast. They've gone on a play date with their cousins. If you guys could see what's behind our studio setup,
there's a pack and play. There's all kinds of luggage. It's ridiculous.
It's awesome. I love that the kids want to come and they want to stay with us, even though we have a really small place. They want to be here, and there's nothing better than that. So, but you may wonder, if you listen to our podcast consistently, you may wonder, how did I go from last week, if you listened to it? And if you haven't, maybe go back for some context and listen to it, to this week. Because I am clearly much better.
Sure.
For our regular viewers and
right.
listeners. How did I get from there to here is something that I'd be happy to share if you're interested.
Well, I'd like that. Go ahead. Tell us. How did you get from there to here?
Let me take a sip of my fiery hot coffee.
Let me tell you something. Last week, a lot of what was going on had to do with work and family and feeling unseen and unheard. Would that be correct?
Inadequate.
Okay.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
And so how did that go from darkness and weepy to happy and beautiful?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I'll start by saying that's what happens. If you live with someone who struggles with, you know, emotional ups and downs, that is what happens. It's like the flip of a switch when it hits. It's like a flip of a switch when it lets go.
Sure.
But there are some things that you can do. And last week we talked about some of those things. Focus on gratitude is one of those things. One thing that was pivotal is, we had the whole family came over Thursday, not the whole family, half the family came over Thursday night for a dinner. And I was talking with one of our kids who is in a similar spot right now. And I don't want to give a lot of details. That's their story, not mine. But in a similar spot. And I said to this kid, I said, we're both kind of in the dumps. We're both in a really difficult, dark, kind of hopeless feeling spot.
Sure.
Let's get together tomorrow and figure out how to get ourselves out of this. So there's always a moment where you decide this, whatever words you want to put on it, this is no longer serving me. This shit's got to stop. Whatever words you want to use, right? But there's always a moment where you kind of think, all right, nobody's going to get me out of this but me.
Sure.
I've got to do something. This isn't giving me the results I want. Doesn't feel the way that I want to feel. I know I can do better. Whatever it is. But this is where I draw the line and say, okay, now we've got to move forward.
Sure.
Somehow. Because I don't want to live like this. Right? And so that's kind of the point that I reached. Like, okay, we've given it enough time and space. You can live the rest of your life like this, or you can get up and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day I woke up and, you know, started doing something about it, in anticipation of that call. Now that call didn't come. He got busy, wrapped up, and couldn't get, but we did eventually chat, about it. And, in fact, just yesterday when we finally reconnected and, had this conversation about like, what are we going to do here?
I now know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't know before.
Oh, well, good. Like what's the plan? What are we going to do? And as we started talking, he started getting some ideas like, oh, well, I could do this or I could do that, or I could reach out to that person, or I could, he's like, man, I didn't even think about that. So getting with somebody else who you can kind of run with, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like it's not always about hearing from your cheerleader. It's not always about that. Sometimes, depending on who you are and how your brain's wired, it's about getting connected with somebody else who also wants to move forward. Do you know what I mean? Like they want to run with you.
Right.
Because there's power in accountability, right? And there's power in, hey, let's, and I'm doing this, because it's like you link arms and you go, let's get ourselves out of this. Like it's you and me,
yes.
You know, let's move forward. So, we had a really powerful, really, encouraging conversation yesterday, but prior to that, you know, I just decided, I guess, enough is enough. And it's crazy. Like you said, that evening, I decided enough is enough. I got to figure out how to get myself out of this. And then things started happening.
Yeah.
So it's a mindset shift, right? And sometimes forcing your mind to shift to see something different is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes forcing your mind to see something different is hard.
Sure.
But once you do, all of a sudden, everything else comes along.
That's right.
Right. And so, and you know, I talked with you maybe the next, like 2 days later about, okay, there's some things that are like non-negotiables for me.
That's right.
That have to be non-negotiables. I have to get outside. I have to go to the gym. I have to take my vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, you know, it's simple things. They're simple to do, but they're simple to not do. When you don't feel good about anything, think about a simple thing like flossing your teeth. You might not ever think about that. Well, yeah, you just do.
Right. You just floss your teeth.
Right. But some people, when they're like really sad or in a depressive episode, of the hiccups, they won't. They don't even have the energy to do that. They don't have the energy to make their bed. That's something. That's one of my tricks.
Make your bed.
When I start getting up every morning, making my bed, you know I'm on my way out of it.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull my brain out of
it. You're using discipline to get yourself out of it.
I've got at least one win on the
day. It's interesting that we're talking about this, because this is so unrelatable to me. I mean, I don't have any of this. None of this happens to me, really. I have one thing that might set me off and make me upset, and then I'm frustrated.
Does it not happen, or are you just not aware? Because you do ebb and flow.
Sure, but I'm up most of the time, and I have some things that like can knock the wind out of my sails temporarily, but it is temporary, you know?
You're the 15 seconds.
That's exactly right. I'm way too ADD to be focused on sad, which is why I have joked that suicide would be really hard for me, because I can have a 15-second pit of despair and then see a leaf blow by the window and be fully off it and never think about it again. It's really weird how that happens in my brain.
It's enviable.
So, but talking about having to get yourself out of a funk, I like the first time I went to see Tony Robbins, I thought all of the stuff he said sounded kooky, crazy, cuckoo, because I don't need to hit my chest to change my state. I don't need to focus on positive self-talk because I don't have negative self-talk. So it's really interesting to me to talk about this. And it's also kind of exciting to see when you're going through something like that, because I just want to help you. And I think it's interesting. And, you know,
I think it's interesting. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
I'm going to gently expose you.
I think it. That's not the first time you've said that to me.
When you, if you can't go outside and be physically active,
I get squirrely. That's true.
It's the same thing.
But maybe. But I do. It's a non-negotiable. I do that. I don't even think about it. I just do it.
Right. But it's the same thing if you're unable
get in my way.
If you're unable to for several days, you start feeling like I gotta get out. I gotta
break free. I gotta get free.
I gotta clear my brain.
Yeah. That's a thing.
It's the same thing.
Except I'm not thinking sad thoughts. I'm just feeling constricted.
But it's the same thing. If you're constricted long enough, you will start feeling sad thoughts. And we've talked about sometimes in your past where you went through sad things and there were things you did to not feel sad.
Oh, sure.
Right.
So post-divorce, I had that.
It's the same thing the human experience is unique to each human, right? So it is a similar thing. I shouldn't say the same, but it is a similar thing. Just this is how it shows up in your life, shows up differently than in my life.
Yes. And, you know, the way I think about it, the difference is one is situational and one is conditional. So if there's a condition, if there's a condition like PTSD, or anxiety, or some condition that causes that, I think it's way harder to get out of it than something that is situational. Like, everybody's sad when they lose their job. Everybody.
I see what you're saying.
That's situational. Mm. Conditional is, I can't control what's happening because I've had this in my life, and now I hit this wall and am here now.
Right.
So there's a difference.
Right.
So I can't relate to conditional stress or conditional. It's just like somebody with chronic back pain. That is awful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it, thank God, but I have a friend who kind of lost his mind because he had all the time constant back pain. Mm-hmm. And he was a Vietnam veteran and it was all related to that. And it was awful and debilitating. Mm-hmm. And I think mental conditions are very similar. If you have some thing that happened, you need to get treatment for that, just like someone who needs surgery. It's just a different part of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean, because I do have complex PTSD. And I'm out here raw dogging life with
it. And that's what I can't relate to.
Because I'm not medicated.
Sure.
Right? So, and that's just my personal choice. I don't have a
raw dog in life.
I don't have a stance on it. Like, I'm against medication. I'm not.
You kind of are. You're not for other people, but you kind of are for you.
Well, I am for me. That's what I'm saying. I'm not against it as a thing we do in society.
Well,
do what you want to do. It's not for me.
Yeah, I'm not against.
And
I'm not against.
I would rather
choices. Right?
I would rather, as hard as it is, ride the waves of my ups and downs than be steady through medication. That's just a personal choice for me.
Sure.
It's like my personal choice not to do anything to my face.
What do you mean do anything to your face?
You know, like I don't do Botox or fillers or plastic surgery, any of that kind of stuff, right? As of today, I have just a personal thing that's not for me. I don't want to do that.
And it doesn't hurt that you're really pretty and I don't want you to mess it up.
Well,
don't mess this up.
And I'm not saying I won't ever. It's still on the table for the future, potentially.
I'm not finger painting on the Mona Lisa.
Oh, thank you. but I just choose to ride the waves, and you know, maybe that makes it harder for me. I don't know. I just know my experience.
Sure.
So I'd rather kind of be, for me, just fully present, even though some of it is really painful to be fully present in. It's interesting, though, too, that I do connect so much of it to my work and my success, air quotes, mm-hmm. in work. Mm-hmm. We went to a memorial service on Saturday for a beloved member of our real estate community here where we live. And it was something that stood out to me at this memorial service was someone who was a good friend of this person got up and spoke and said, you know, I will never forget this conversation that we had about, do you live to work or work to live?
Right.
And they said the memorial service, was for someone named Jeff. And he said, Jeff worked to live and really embodied that. And this guy was expressing that he was more of a live to work person. And it really made him stop and think and reevaluate his whole life after this conversation. Well, I took that away with me because I definitely have a tendency to work to live because,
live to work,
because, work is where I feel the most successful, most satisfied, most useful. I feel like it's my highest and best use as a human. The problem is when work is not going well, because we work in sales, that happens from time to time. There are slowdowns. Most people in sales have, you know, good times and bad times. That's just sales.
Sure.
There are the elite few that never see the dip. Good for you. But when it's down, I kind of go down with it. And so my goal, I think, for, you know, the next period of time in my life, is going to be to shift my mindset from that live to work to more of a work to live, and kind of explore more of a balance with that. And some of that is going to be discovering some things other than work that I can feel useful and successful. And you know, using my unique abilities to be able to do. And I don't know what those are yet. Then that's kind of a little sad, but I'm in this year-long leadership group that just started last month, and that's kind of the focus of the whole group. And so I'm hoping by this time next year to be in a very different place up here, you know, between the old ears, and be more balanced in that area, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I can tell you that I think my highest and best use is as a husband and a father, which is why I've designed my business life around you, because then I get to be with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And that for me is my driving factor. You know what I mean?
And I would have said that 10 years ago, but not today for me, not as a husband and father, but as a wife and mother, but not today. You know, that was all shaken up and I'm still kind of sorting out the pieces. You know, about 7 years ago, if you think of my life as a 5,000 piece puzzle,
mm-hmm.
right? About 7 years ago, I kind of, and let's say I'm 2/3 of the way through the puzzle, right? Because I'm 2/3 of the way through life or whatever. I kind of smooshed it all up and threw it on the floor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And started over. And you didn't...
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't set it on fire. You broke it apart and started over. You're reassembling the puzzle.
And so I had big shakeups in life and my philosophies of everything. You know,
and I think that's a little sad.
Family.
Sure.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. And so it's been interesting which pieces of that kind of come to the surface and are ready to be reassembled maybe in a different way now.
I think that's an interesting allusion. I think that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference over the last 7 years, I feel like, in... And I don't really know what I'm saying, so stick with me here. This is just from the gut, right? I feel like there's been different sections of that puzzle that like kind of surface and go, okay, it's time to figure out this section.
Huh.
You know, and then there'll be a different time where it's like my brain goes, okay, now we're ready to look at this section, figure out what you want that to look like and how, you know, that kind of thing. And so, But I'm still figuring it out, you know. I don't. Yeah. We don't ever figure it out. Quote.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about the meaning of life, I don't know that there is one. Well, let me tell you. I think the meaning of my life is to do nice things for people. I like doing stuff for people. I like solving people's problems. I like helping. I like being effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Right? So as long as I'm being kind to people and doing what I say I'm going to do, I think I'm doing the right stuff. And here's good news. That goes right along with being a husband and a father. So it's easily together.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Oh, I do.
So I don't ever think about what I do is who I am. I don't ever think that.
Wait, say that again.
I don't ever think about what I do is who I am, you know, work to live rather than live to work. I don't think that.
Oh, let me give you a glimpse. Just stripping away all the niceties. If I'm not being successful in work, I'm not successful as a human.
Yeah, that's terrible. And you need to find a way to get through that.
And I think that's a deep, deep, like performance-driven thing from way back in the...
Well, I'm very performative as well and grew up that way, which is why my mindset is to be kind and to help others. Because to me, success is making people feel good. That's what success is to me. I will never walk into a room with the intention to upset people. Never. Mm-hmm. That is antithetical to me. I cannot even conceive of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can be really upset and lose my temper, but I can't purposely be mean. Does that make sense? I can't do it on purpose. I can't be.
Boy, I sure can.
Right. That just doesn't work for me because I learned in second grade that Funny David was the one people like. So I am performing.
And not being liked is like Kenny, your kryptonite in a way. Being not being liked, being rejected, being, you know.
People, but I don't know what that's like.
People think, well, because you don't look at it, not everybody loves you.
And that's their
problem. But in your brain, you feel like, yeah.
I don't dislike anyone. I don't carry resentment. So I can't conceive that that's happening from other people's point of view because that's just not my worldview.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I don't feel unliked. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I just believe everybody is capable of being friendly and kind and happy. And I think everybody wants to be. I think everybody's trying to do the right thing. That's how my brain works.
Right.
That's just what I think.
Yeah, I do. I agree.
And some people would say that's delusional.
Well, we're all delusional to something, right? We're all being brainwashed somehow. Let me just finish this thought. You're either brainwashing yourself to think well of life, or you're brainwashing yourself to think poorly of life. Or you're brainwashing yourself to, you know what I mean?
It's like the old saying, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile.
Well, it's, and we're
so
back.
So smiling so much easier. Why not just be friendly?
We're back to where we started about this podcast with Mel Robbins and Dr. I apologize. I don't know. I almost made you spit your coffee. That was great.
My home coffee. It's on the house.
That talks about that exactly. 50, I can't wait to listen to the whole thing. 50 years of research that shows the placebo of your mind is the most powerful medicine on the face of the earth.
Well, that's true. Your mindset is what can help you be successful or fail at whatever you're doing.
And this this particular podcast is specifically on using your mind to heal your body. So, you know, I'm about that. So
this is what I, it's exactly what
that,
I told
that one, the Mel Robbins
a 21-year-old Dago Velasquez when he said to me, "Hey, David, how come you're so happy all the time at work?" And I said, "It's because I'm a force of nature and I make things happen."
Right.
And he believed that and became that because he believed it. Mm. Ask him. He'll tell you he's a force of nature. He makes things happen.
Yeah.
It's exactly mindset. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Tony Robbins for the first time, I was with him. And so every now and then, if you see Dago puff up his chest and slap it and say, "Change your state," that happened with me.
Yeah. And that's real. That's a real thing. You said earlier that you thought it was crazy. You don't need to do
it
that.
It does sound crazy.
But you, I've seen you do it. You're like, "I don't need to do that," but I've seen you do it.
It does feel good when you do that. When you
does,
hit your chest and say, "Change your state," it feels good.
It gives you a burst of endorphins. That's why he does that, right? And so, so I don't know. I don't know. This has not been any of our regular, like, normal stuff these last week and this week, but I hope you've enjoyed it anyway, getting to know us a little bit in this different way.
I think this has been exactly what we do every week.
Well, we usually talk about the market, we do our restaurant review, and we do everything, but here's the truth of the matter is we're keeping our head above water right now, working while we are taking lots and lots of time to play with grandbabies. Right now, right this second. They all leave this week, so.
I can tell you this, Sherwood Austin Mortgage is firing on all cylinders.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, both things are.
And thank God we have David
on jet fuel right now.
Because he's working full time while the kids are here climbing all over me and I'm taking phone calls. But it's a good thing that we're able to do what we're doing.
Yeah, yep.
Anything else you want to add? You have 20 seconds.
I don't know. Thank you for being here. Thanks for those who reached out and checked on me since last week's show. I appreciate that.
For Londa Joanne Sherwood Austin, I'm David Austin, and this has been The Session with Londa and David.